If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
IB Nation, welcome back to another edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. It is Tuesday, April 30th. We're about to start May. May is obviously my favorite month of the year because it's my birthday month. So it's also a month where the weather starts to change here in South Bend. It's a beautiful day here in Granger, Indiana, just outside of South Bend. I'm excited to be with y'all today. I hope you guys are excited today. Going to talk some Notre Dame football today. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on. I was hoping to be able to talk about kind of some roster changes because today is the last day that the portal is open. Just so people understand, that only it refers to undergraduates, someone who, let's say Notre Dame's getting ready to finish up their semester, someone that graduates here this spring, someone that has already graduated, decides they want to jump in the portal, they can kind of jump in whatever they want. That's pretty much how that works. But this is the last day. I believe it's midnight. I believe I could be incorrect on that one. But today's the last day where guys can jump in the portal. Notre Dame right now is over the 85 scholarship limit, and they're trying to add some guys to the roster. So a lot of stuff to happen. So we'll have to discuss that another day, unless some things happen, obviously, while the show is going live, which if it does, we will talk about it. But in the meantime, we have some other topics that we're going to get into today. And I told y'all last week that we were going to get into sort of a post-spring overview of where things stand, sort of a state of the program type of conversation. And we're going to do that today. And we're going to start with the offense. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk about the defense. And then we'll kind of, in the next couple of weeks, just kind of go more detail into each position. I know some of you love getting into details, and we will certainly do that. But we're going to get into some more specific details here over the next couple of weeks where we'll go position by position and break things down. Also, we'll dive into that. I'm going to talk about just overview of the offense from the spring, strengths that I see this offense having, some concerns and questions, some battles that are still raging, you know, reinforcements are on the way. And then just I'm going to wrap this section up with just an overview of how I'm feeling right now today about the offense relative to where I was going into the spring. Part two of today's show is we're going to talk about the 2025 recruiting class. Notre Dame got a big piece on Sunday when Dallas Golden committed That was a big one. That one was incredibly important. Notre Dame needed to make that one happen, and they made it happen. And so now they're going to have to get into a situation where it's about the finish, right? It's like, okay, you're in a great place. You've got 20 kids committed, but you've got to finish. And we're going to find out, you know, how that's going to go, whether or not they're going to be able to get to that point and get that thing figured out. So we'll dive into that as well. And going to go over specific positions that are needed, some specific players that are needed, and some of the latest news that we're hearing. And then I'm going to wrap it up where I talked about this week we're going to launch sort of the new format at Irish Breakdown for the big show. Wednesday is going to be the buy, sell, hold. That segment will be at the end of the show. It's not going to be a full show this week. It's just going to be a final segment of the show. We will get into that. That will be premium members. I'm going to post that here later tonight so premium members can start putting those on there now. Or if somebody wants to go launch one now, they can go ahead and start launching that now. And that'll be awesome. And we can get that started and get your buy, sell, holds for Notre Dame team, Notre Dame recruiting, college football, whatever the case may be. Tuesday, however, is going to be Film Room Tuesday. And every Tuesday, I'm going to do something related to recruiting film room. I'm going to break down a player. I'll break down a position group, some type of different topic. I may talk about, hey, here's a need that Notre Dame has. Here's three prospects that fill that need, dive into their film and how they fill that need. So it'll mix it up week after week. We'll change it up as we go through the offseason. We'll do it when I'm doing solo shows, but then when Vince and I start doing daily shows over the summer, when he's out for school, we'll do the same thing then and going to have some fun with that. And today's film room is going to be on Jadon Blair, who we'll also talk about during the recruiting section. And you guys will get a sense of why I'm so high on Jadon Blair and how he fits into the Notre Dame defense. So that, everyone, is an outline of today's show. Before we get started, do me a favor, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, hit that notification bell, folks, before we get rocking and rolling, because you may forget as we get way down into this and start having some fun with this conversation, you may forget. So go ahead and hit that like button now as we get ready to kick off the show with topic number one.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
And topic number one for today's show is the Notre Dame offense. And I think we can all agree that the offense of the two primary sides of the ball, I still have some question marks on defense. On special teams. There's certainly some questions on special teams that have to get answered. But of the two main topics, or the two sides of the ball, offense and defense, I think we can all agree that offense is certainly the biggest question mark right now. It showed some promise last season. Notre Dame averaged over 39 points per game, set an all-time scoring record for Notre Dame in total points and points per game. Notre Dame also did some, ranked in the top 10 in yards per play. There was a lot of promise. Now, a lot of that was done against inferior opponents, but it's still progress because in the past they weren't even doing that against inferior opponents. So it was a step forward offensively. And the things that held the offense back were things that have existed for a long time, which is this offense just doesn't have good enough quarterback play. This offense doesn't play well enough in the big moments. They don't play well enough against the best defenses on the schedule. They're just going to have games that they just don't show up. And when I say don't show up, it's like just no energy, no focus, no competitiveness, no passion, none of that. You're always going to have games where you're not executing well. Every team has that happen. But when you still play with physicality, you still play with fire, you still play with passion, you still play like you actually want to be there, if you're the more talented team, then you'll still win. You'll still have success. That did not happen with Notre Dame last season. We saw too many instances where they just didn't come to play in those big moments. And overall, improved skill talent in certain years, but just there's always been something missing. Will the 2024 offense be any different? Well, we can start things off by saying none of us knows. So this isn't to come here and say, all right, everybody, book your hotels for national championship weekend because Notre Dame is going to have the best offense of college football and they're going to the national championship. That's not what this is about. This is simply a state of the union of where things stand right now on April 30th relative to where I was sort of in the summer or in the winter coming into fall camp. And that's where it's going to be. And we'll see how things kind of progress here over the summer. And then, of course, some questions have to get answered in fall camp. Some battles are going to have to rage, all of that. And we'll truly learn how good this offense is. I mean, honestly, the great thing about it is our first sense of it will come the first week of the season, August 31st. I mean, like last year, we didn't really know how good the offense was going to be until the Ohio State game. We thought it was, hey, this is pretty good because they did some good things against NC State, who had a pretty good defense, but that was more of the anomaly. It was more so what we saw against Ohio State, what we saw against Duke, what we saw against Louisville, what we saw against Clemson. That was more of what this offense was whenever it was playing a defense that was close to being on its level. And this year, August 31st, they play Texas A&M, who's led by Mike Elko, and obviously he's going to have that team rocking and rolling. They're going to be more physical. They're going to be more disciplined. They've got talent on defense. So Notre Dame will get tested that first week. And then, of course, they'll have another test over a month later when they host Louisville to wrap up the September schedule for Notre Dame in 2024. So we will have some early tests that will show us just how far they've come. But right now, this is meant to be where are they right now? Where do things stand right now? What are the things we feel good about? What are the questions and things that still linger out there? And we will have questions for both sides of the ball, which is also going to be true for every team in college football. But we're going to talk about the Notre Dame offense here first today. So big picture, when I look at the offense, just to kind of, before we get into specifics, I do feel that the offense made progress this spring. I don't think there's any doubt about that relative to where they were. And I'll talk about my expectations at the end of the show, but this is more just a what I believe to be facts and things that I don't even really believe are that disputable when you're talking about this Notre Dame offense. And that is they made progress this spring. We saw a lot of guys getting reps. We saw some competition. We saw some battles. We learned a little bit about this team from a personality standpoint on offense, which I think were all good answers that we found this spring. And so those are all good things that we can dive into. But this offense made progress. We saw a lot of quarterbacks get reps. We saw a deep receiver room. We saw the offensive line battling and competing. Still lots of questions at all those positions. But the thing I believe to be true now compared to where we were in the winter and then heading into right now the summer, so we've gotten through the spring, there's no doubt that this offense made progress. There's still a work in progress, but there's no doubt this offense made progress. And that's certainly a great place to start. And so when we dive into this overview of the offense, I first want to begin with things that I'm encouraged by, things that I believe are either strengths that this team has shown itself to have, whether it's answers to questions that we had, and you know, hey, will they have this happen this spring? Will somebody emerge here? And we'll dive into that. And so there's certainly some things that have me fired up about what this offense can be. And the first one is honestly the depth. The thing that we learned about this offense more than anything else this spring is that it is a deep unit. It is, and it's not just numbers. It's depth of talent. Is that true everywhere? Kind of. There's an experience at certain places, but let's take offensive tackle, for example. I have major question marks about the right tackle position, which we'll dive into in a couple different areas. I have questions about the inexperience of this line, but there's no doubt that Notre Dame has talent. When I look at the offensive tackle position and you say, boy, a lot of us have said, a lot of you have said, and I understand where you're coming from, boy, I'm really worried about the offensive tackle position. And I am to a degree, but I look at it and I say, you've got Charles Jagasaw, you've got Sullivan Absher, you've got Tosh Baker, you've got Emil Wagner, you've got Gerby Lambert coming in, you've got Styles Prescott. The one thing that we can't say is there talent there? There's talent there. We can ask ourselves, is the talent ready to play at a high level? Is the talent going to be consistent? You know, are younger players ready to play to their potential? Those are all fair questions that still have to be answered. But there's no doubt that there's talent there. Same thing at receiver. We're going to have a lot to say about the receivers. But the one thing we can't argue, and even people that are still in a wait-and-see mode with the receiving core, which is a totally fair take to have, I think even they can look at it and say, but it's at least there's reason to be optimistic because there's talent there. There's talent at running back. There's talent at tight end. I mean, Notre Dame went through the whole spring without Mitchell Evans, who I'm going to have an article coming out later today, maybe tomorrow morning. You know how I always say that. It's going to come later today, and then a million things come up between now and then. And so I don't get it out done on time. So I'll just say today or tomorrow I'll have an article out that's going to look at all the 2025 early mock drafts from people that I believe to be somewhat reputable. So, you know, Dane Brugler and ESPN, and Sporting News, Sports Illustrated, Athlon, all those types of places, right? So not some just random, you know, site that does things. And I've seen, obviously, Benjamin Morrison, a lot of them, but I've seen multiple ones that have Mitchell Evans as a potential first-round draft pick. I have some questions about that due to his health and some other, you know, some things. He's going to have a really good year and be healthy and all that stuff and test well. And I don't know if Mitchell Evans is a round one guy or is he a day two guy. That's not my area of expertise. But what we all know is that this is a really talented tight end. Notre Dame went through the entire spring without him, and you watch the spring game and you're like, yeah, they're pretty good at tight end. You know, now they'll be even better when Mitchell Evans comes back. That's not the point, but it's when you can go through a spring without a guy like Mitchell Evans and still have Eli Raridan out there making plays, still have Cooper Flanagan out there making plays. Jack Larson shows up and he's out there making plays. Henry Garrity's doing some things as a walk-on in practice. You start to realize just how deep this team is. Notre Dame went through the whole spring without their starting quarterback. And yet you watch the spring game and you're like, dude, there's a lot of talented quarterbacks still out there on this roster. Notre Dame doesn't have Jadarian Price and Kedron Young for the spring game. And you watch the spring game and you're thinking, man, Notre Dame is still pretty loaded at running back. And so that's the first thing you notice is there's a lot of talent on this football team and there's a lot of depth, quality depth, to where there's no one position where I look at this roster and say, if that guy gets hurt, they're screwed. You could debate left tackle, but even there, I still feel like you can, with Sullivan Absher, with moving one of the right tackles over, with Gerby Lambert coming in, you're still going to have a talented player there. It's just going to be somebody probably young at one of those two spots. Quarterback, you don't want to lose that Riley Leonard, but don't you all feel a lot better about where the quarterback position is now compared to where it was coming into the spring with the young players emerging and doing what they did? And that's an important piece to this, because The reason that matters so much, depth's always been important, but depth is way more important now than it was even a year ago. And the reason for that is because to win a championship now, things are very different. Things are, you're not just, hey, let's hope you win 12 or 11 or 12, get to the playoff, and then you get a month off, and then you got to play two games in 10 days, and you hope you can win a title in 14 games. Now it's you get about 3 weeks off at the end of the season, then you're starting a playoff run where you've got to win four games in about a month's time if you want to win a championship. That's a lot more wear and tear on a football team. That's a lot more opportunities for guys to wear down. There's a lot more opportunities for guys to get injured. There's a lot more opportunities for guys to go through slumps. All types of things can happen the more and more and more you play. So depth now is so much more important, not only to sustain injuries, but even more importantly, in my opinion, is to have the kind of depth that can go out there and perform in a way to where you can maybe try to reduce potential for injury. So maybe your tight end doesn't have to play 50 snaps a game if he's a dude in order to be productive and for you to win. Well, you have to do that when there's a big drop-off between your number one and number two. But when you've got the kind of depth behind Mitchell Evans and Notre Dame has, they can maybe bring him back a little bit slower this season. Or even if he's ready to go in week one, and I don't know if he will or won't be. I don't know the answer to that one way or the other. But let's say he is able to go week one. Well, that first month of the season, you can get him the football, but you can limit his reps because you can bring him back a little bit slower. And you can't do that in a lot of places because most places don't have an Eli Raridan, a Cooper Flanagan, and a Jack Larson coming off the bench if their starting tight end goes down. And that's a great place for Notre Dame to be as you look to building a team that can make the run that they need to make to win a championship, which is going to require them to not only stay together and stay somewhat healthy for a pretty challenging 12-game schedule, but then also to be able to go play four games at the end of the season in order to win a championship. Depth is an absolute must more than it ever has been. And Notre Dame on offense can certainly come out of the spring saying, hey, we're in a pretty good place. Even if they have a couple portal losses, you can still look at it and say, that kind of had to happen because you were kind of loaded there. Hope that doesn't happen. I hope everybody stays. But if it does happen, you're in a much, much better place to handle those injuries or handle those departures and still have the depth that you need to go be impactful. I mean, we had a post on the message board a couple weeks ago, and I understood where the guy was coming from. And the question was, do you have too many receivers? And the point he was arguing was, it's not that they don't have the proper numbers. We all agree that they do, but it's like, do you have too many talented mouths to feed? That's a great problem to have. I'd much rather have that be my problem than it not be. And that to me is where you're coming from. And that's where you feel good about that being the place. So that's the first thing you notice is the depth of this offensive football team is in a really good place. And you have a lot more, and what it boils down to is the margin for error is greater. And that's all I was talking about. That's what that is, that margin for error. You can sustain injuries, have good depth. And then also, when you are bringing in other players, you're not just bringing in a guy to take reps away. If you take your starting receivers off the field, you're putting in guys that can make plays. If you don't have Jadarian Price or Jeremiah Love on the field, you're going to have a running back on the field that can make plays. Same at tight end, same at quarterback, same at certain spots in the offensive line. And that's the place that Notre Dame wants to be and needs to be. And I think they established that this spring.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
That's number one strength, the thing that I'm optimistic about. Part of that, and I'm going to build on that a little bit, the thing that we learned this spring, and this is not so much from a depth, from a position standpoint, but what we saw this spring is there's a lot of potential playmakers on this offense. Now, the question mark is going to be, okay, they showed some things in the spring, but can they carry that into the fall? Can they be that player when we get to the fall and the games are happening and the big games? And that's still a question because a lot of the guys that we're going to talk about have either A, not done it at all, or B, not done it in a Notre Dame uniform or in a meaningful down. And so that's still a question mark. But the thing that I saw this spring is just you're talking about multiple running backs that can be big play weapons. And just the two guys that we know about, Jeremiah Love, Jadarian Price, two home run hitters. Kedren Young, before he went out, was showing promise. And Neas Williams showed potential this spring. You look at the receiver position. Chris Mitchell ends the spring with a 60-yard touchdown. This is a kid that went on the road at Florida International, which had one of the worst passing offenses in college football last year. He has almost half of their receiving yards. He has half of their touchdown catches last season. Goes on the road against Arkansas. Arkansas knows he's the guy they got to stop, and he still goes out there and has six catches for 157 yards. You talk about Bo Collins, who we didn't even get to see this spring, but we know what Bo can do. He's going to be here. That's two guys right there. You brought in a transfer who was a first-team All-American kick returner last year. So you added that influx of potential playmaking ability to the roster, and that was very apparent to see this spring. And so that was obviously a plus, but it's not even just that group. It's also looking at it from the standpoint of, but what about the guys that are already on the team? What about the guys that are here? Do you have playmakers there? Well, we went through this whole spring, and I liked the playmaking ability I saw from multiple receivers, and we didn't see Bo Collins. We didn't see Jaden Harris in the last half of spring, and we didn't see Jordan Faison. We know he can be a playmaker. So we saw Micah Gilbert have some moments this spring. We saw Cam Williams step up and be a playmaker this spring. We saw KK Smith step up and be a playmaker at different times this spring. And then, of course, you talk about Jaden Greathouse. And this is the other thing. This is a bit of an answer that we found this spring comes down to the breakout of Jaden Greathouse. So one of the questions that we asked going into really every season, we talked about it last year, year before that, is will somebody at wide receiver come out and be the guy? Will they have a true number one emerge? Last year, they didn't have a true number one emerge. 2022, they didn't have a true number one emerge. 2021, Kevin Austin was your number one, but he was so hit or miss. He was good in some games and he would disappear in others. He's not what I refer to as a true number one. He had number one talent, but he wasn't a true number one. I think you'd have to go back to 2020 with Javon McKinley, the last time that Notre Dame really had a true number one receiver, meaning you knew who he was, you knew you were going to target him, you were going to make sure he got touches in big moments, and he was a guy that played well in the biggest games. And you go look at what Javon did in some of Notre Dame's biggest games that year, and you're like, yeah, that's what you expect from a true number one. There were some games Javon McKinley didn't make a lot of catches because of the nature of that offense, and it wasn't a team that really threw the ball a whole lot that year. His numbers aren't going to blow anyone away, 42 catches for 717 yards. But you look at what he did in the biggest moments, and that's why Javon McKinley, to me, was a true number one. You talk about the night game at Florida State where your team hasn't played in almost a month. You've got to step up. Florida State's offense is playing well. Javon goes out, has five catches for 107 yards. You played Clemson at home. Big game. Number one team in the country coming to your place. Javon has five catches for 102 yards. You go on the road 3 weeks later to play North Carolina, who at the time, I believe, had one loss. They were ranked in the top 15, high-octane offense. Their receiving core was loaded. Javon steps up, has six catches for 135 yards. That's what you saw. That's what a number one receiver does. It's the production. You can look at the production all you want, but is this a guy that steps up when the lights are brightest? We don't know that Notre Dame has that yet, despite what I'm about to say. But what we saw this spring was Jaden Greathouse emerging as the big dog in the room, the lead dog in the room. And that's huge because this is a young man that does come from a big-time football program. This is a young man that's come from from a place where he's played in front of tens of thousands of people before in big time games, state championship games, state semifinal games. You're talking about a kid that showed himself to have elite confidence, playmaking ability, volume pass catching ability, positional flexibility. So one of the key ingredients to LSU's success last year throwing the football, on top of talent and a good quarterback, was that they could do things from a matchup standpoint that allowed them to go at other teams. So if you break down film of Malik Nabers, who was the number six overall draft pick, yes, he's talented, no doubt. Yes, his quarterback was talented. But they would also do things schematically to allow him to be that number one guy. He'd play in the boundary at some snaps. He'd play in the slot in other snaps. He'd be outside as the Z in other snaps. He'd start in the boundary and motion to the field. He'd start in the field, do a zipper motion. They would, you know, start him out wide. He would zip inside and stack and release off of that. You never really knew where he was going to be. They would run wide. They would run their slot fade concept. And yeah, Malik Nabers did that a lot. But other times they'd use Malik Nabers as the decoy on that play. But then other times they'd have Brian Thomas there running that route. I broke down their film and I saw three different receivers execute the slot fade for a touchdown last year. Just off the top of my head, I saw three. I actually think it was four because they had another younger receiver that caught one last year, I believe, as well. I'll have to go back and look through that film again. But you would see guys move around. So another ingredient to why I believe Jaden Greathouse's emergence this year was so important was because he looked so much stronger. And he looked so much more capable of working on different levels. Early last season, Jaden kind of had a smaller route package, a lot of quick stuff. He made a couple plays. You know, I think his first touchdown pass was on an inside post route. You know, so we knew he could stretch the field a little bit. But what Jaden showed this spring is he knows how to get open and win on short, intermediate, deep routes, deep vertical routes, deep horizontal routes, deep out routes. He showed he can win contested throws, which means not only can he play that volume position from the slot, but that means he can move around, play outside, do a lot of different things. And that's vitally important in this offense. Now, how exactly they'll utilize that, we'll find out. But what Jaden Greathouse showed this spring is he set the bar in a way that you want. And this is why it's so important to have this happen during the spring, if you can have it happen. If a guy steps up and plays like the guy, or let's say everybody just kind of does their thing all spring. Yes, you know, there's some good things we saw. We like where we saw, but everybody's just kind of out there competing and doing their own thing and trying to get better. And that's all fine. Nothing wrong with that. But when a player steps up like Jaden Greathouse did this spring, it impacts the entire room because now everybody can go back and look and say, okay, that's the guy. That's the guy that stepped up this spring, and he was the playmaker. He demanded the football. He got the football. He made plays. He was the number one guy going through every drill. Every single practice that we were at this spring, every single one, the first guy in line for every drill was Jaden Greathouse, a sophomore. The first guy that would go out there and say something to a teammate was Jaden Greathouse constantly. The first guy that went out there and made a play seemed to almost always be Jaden Greathouse. And so not only does that impact the offense by giving your quarterbacks a sense of, hey, that's our guy, but even better, and this is a different way of looking at it, and this is, you know, as a receivers coach, this was something I loved when it would happen. Either usually for us it was in fall camp because back when I was coaching, we didn't have spring ball at the levels that I was coaching at. So it happened in fall camp. And here's what happens when that player emerges. And so I'll use an example. My 1 year at Duquesne, we had two guys that thought they were the alpha in the room. And they were a little hard-headed, didn't always want to listen, thought they kind of had all the answers. But throughout fall camp, another player emerged who had 12 career catches coming into the year. And he quickly became the alpha. Not by us putting him in a spot to be the alpha, not by us coming up with concepts to get him the football. It was with his play. He'd dominate one-on-ones. He'd dominate seven-on-seven. He'd dominate team. He dominated our scrimmages. He was just out there saying, that's the guy. When he started becoming the guy, the other two guys in the room who thought they were alphas realized, I may not be that guy anymore. Michael's now that guy. So if I want to go out there and do what I want to do production-wise, I got to step it up a little bit. Well, Michael listens to coach. Michael does this. Michael does that. And all of a sudden, it raised the entire room because everybody in the room said, if I want to get mine, if I want to get my touches, I'm going to have to compete with him. I'm going to have to do what he's doing. I'm going to have to play the way that he is. And as Jason Smith in the chat just said, it brings out the best in the entire room. And that's exactly what Jaden Greathouse did. So if you're Chris Mitchell, and this isn't a negative thing for all the time. In my case, that 1 year it was. But in a lot of other cases, it's not a negative. It's a positive because Chris Mitchell can say, okay, Jaden's out there making plays. My man is balling. But I want to be that guy that gets the ball in money times. And Micah Gilbert's going to say that. Jordan Faison's going to say that. Cam Williams is going to say that. Hopefully Deion Colsey says that. Hopefully Bo Collins says that. Hopefully Jaden Thomas says that. And you look around the room, you hope KK Smith says that. You look around the room and say, hey, I want to be that dude. I want to get my touches. I want to get the rock. And so if the ball constantly is going to 19, then I need to battle about against 19. And not in a disparaging way, but in a, all right, sort of like anything you can do, I can do better type of scenario where, okay, Jade's out there making plays means I got to make plays. Okay, how do I make plays? Coach says I got to become a better route runner. So I'm going to spend all summer working as hard as I can to become a better route runner. Coach says I need to be better to catch point. All right, well, part of that's strength. So I'm going to really get after this in the weight room this spring. Coach says that, you know, I got to work on my timing and my technique when the ball's in the air. Okay, I'm going to work all summer on that and all fall camp on that to prove myself, because when we get back out there and practice, I want to be the guy that gets the ball. And you want that mentality from receivers. You want all your starting receivers to be, every time the ball snapped, to say, get me the rock. And that's just, now you want them to respond well when they don't, but you want them to have that mentality. And Jaden Greathouse has said, okay, fellas, y'all can want that all you want, but the standard is, the bar is now here. The bar is now set here. Coming into the spring, the bar was here. Coming out of the spring, the bar's here. And if anybody else wants to be that dude, you now got to come to me on the top of the mountain. I'm the king of the hill. So if you want to be the king of the hill, you got to come up. You got to get better. You got to work harder. You got to be a better route runner. You got to win the ball better. You got to show a better feel of getting open against the zone. You've got to understand leverage. You've got to understand how to manipulate DBs with your stem and with your top end. You have to understand how to use your eyes to manipulate DBs, your bodies to manipulate DBs, how to use your eyes when the ball's in the air to make sure the DB doesn't know the ball's coming, or to get the DB to think the ball's coming. There's so many different intricacies of going to being a great receiver that Jaden Greathouse does a lot of this naturally and has worked hard to improve it. So now, if you want to be that dude, I'm the king of the hill. I've established myself as the king of the hill. So if you want this, come and get it. And that means you got to do your work to become better. And if that happens, even if Jaden Greathouse is still the guy when it's all said and done, it's going to make Chris Mitchell better. It's going to make Bo Collins better. It's going to make Jordan Faison better and Deion Colsey better and Jaden Thomas better and KK Smith better if they react to it the right way. And so there's two benefits. That's the two benefits to what I believe is an answer this spring, which is Jaden Greathouse has established what the bar is and the standard is for receiver play in this room. And so now you feel like, okay, you at least have one guy that's emerged as the guy. And now you have the rest of the rooms either has to step up or find yourself being comfortable in a complimentary role. You hope that that doesn't happen. You don't want that to happen as a football coach. You want guys still competing to become that guy. And we'll see if that happens. But Jaden Greathouse's emergence this spring is a huge reason to be excited about it. And I wish you guys could have seen the scrimmage the week before the Blue Gold game. And even some of you saw in the Blue Gold game, you know, when Jaden was getting open and not getting the ball. And then late in the game, when they needed some big plays, he's where they went. He's the guy they threw to on the fourth down to set up the game, you know, one of the go-ahead touchdowns late in the game. And so that's the guy that you're going to go to. He was even better the week before in the scrimmage. So he set the bar. That's a huge answer that they have had this spring. But he's not alone, though. And this is what I was saying earlier. There's a depth of playmakers that have stepped up. We saw it from Jeremiah Love at times. Saw it from Jadarian Price at times. We saw it from KK Smith at times. Saw it from Chris Mitchell at times. And then you're going to add some playmakers to the mix, and you start getting excited about it. And that's another part, too, that has me fired up, is what you saw this spring from the offense, as good as it was, there's a rival, there's reinforcements coming. Riley Leonard basically was not really here for the spring. Jordan Faison wasn't here for the spring. Not really. Jadarian Price didn't play in the spring game. Bo Collins wasn't here during the spring. Mitchell Evans wasn't here during the spring. Meaning, when I say not here, I mean they weren't out there practicing and getting reps and things like that. They were both here, but they weren't here. Jordan Faison was at practice most days, but he wasn't practicing. He wasn't part of what we saw. We didn't see him in the scrimmage. We didn't see him in the blue gold game. He wasn't here in that regard. Mitchell Evans, as I mentioned. And so Logan Saldate. This offense is going to get even better and deeper in the fall than it even was in the spring. And that's something to certainly be excited about. But again, the bar's been set at several positions. The bar's been was set last fall by Mitchell Evans. Okay, if you want to play more tight end, this is the standard that you need to go to. Audric Estime set a certain level of the bar last spring at running back, but that had to be reestablished this spring. And two guys answered the bell for that, Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price. And so you start feeling very, very good about that. But there's more reinforcements coming at quarterback, running back. We didn't see Kedron Young most of the spring. And then, of course, wide receiver and tight end. So that's certainly something that gets you a little bit excited. Of course, the running back is another, just specifically speaking, the running back room was one that we thought going into the spring you could be excited about. But it was okay, but how good will it be? You know, we'll see. And that's still a question mark to a degree because they got to go show it in games. But coming out of the spring, it's not so much that the running backs showed me something that I didn't expect. It was more so checking a box, right? Like, okay, the talent's there, the depth is there, the potential is there, but will they step up and do it? Okay, box checked. That's certainly a takeaway from the spring. And here's the last one. The last thing is that this spring showed is this offense. We thought it was going to be faster, but what we saw this spring is that's absolutely true. Certain players got a little bit faster, and people say, well, how does a guy get faster? Well, you know, spend a year in the weight room as a true freshman, you're going to get faster. But the other part of it is when you don't know what you're doing all the time, you're not going to play as fast. So a lot of people talk, oh, Jaden Greathouse reshaped his body and he's faster because of that. Well, that's partly true. But the other reason Jaden is moving faster is not so much that he's, you know, went from a 4.7 to a 4.4 in the 40-yard dash in one offseason. It's more so Jaden knows what he's doing now. He's comfortable in what he's doing. He knows the routes. He knows the releases. He knows the stems. He knows the top ends. He's comfortable going against certain defensive backs. And that's going to create a clarity of mind that allows him to just go react instead of thinking. And that's an important piece to this. It was what I was referring to the other day with like what Nick Saban was talking about during the draft is you can teach a guy techniques and all routes and responsibilities, but when they get to games, there's just this certain aspect of this mental acumen where some guys can just instinctively do it at a high level and the right way in different ways where they don't even think about it as much. And so those are different aspects of it. And you started to see that this spring of certain guys that were getting faster. The other piece to it is there's just faster guys on the team now. You know, coming into the spring without the transfers, it was, you know, you knew Jadarian Price and Jeremiah Love has speed. Outside of that, it was kind of like, okay, well, you've got quick guys. Jaden Greathouse is quick. Jordan Faison's quick. I would assume both of those guys are 4 or 5 plus guys. I don't think either of them are sub 4 or 5 guys. KK Smith is a guy that has a lot of speed coming into the spring. We hoped, but we didn't see him really in the fall. So you looked at it and you're like, you know, how dynamic can this offense really be? Well, yeah, it's nice to see Jaden Greathouse getting faster, but you got to see KK Smith healthy and you're like, okay, that guy can fly. You saw Chris Mitchell and you're like, okay, I don't know that he's a 4.3 like he says he is, but he can fly. So you saw him, Jaden Harrison can fly. He has a lot to learn still as a receiver from a technical standpoint, but he can fly. So now all of a sudden you added Chris Mitchell, you added KK Smith, you added Cam Williams, who can flat out fly. You saw his speed is legit. It's not just, You know, we saw it against high school, but does he look fast at Notre Dame? Yes, he does. You added that to the piece. So the transfers, you saw K.K. Smith getting a shot. He's kind of a new guy. You saw Cam Williams. Now, to go with what they had, and now you look at a situation where you're sitting here at running back, and it's not just the running backs. That's the key. It's not just the running backs. And so that's an exciting thing to see when you look at this team is, okay, there's more dynamic playmakers in this group, a lot more dynamic playmakers in this group. And that's something you can build around. A lot of guys got to step up, but that's certainly a great place to build around. So those are the things that I look at this football team. And I say some things we thought we were going to see about this offense that they checked the box. Right? Tight end depth. I don't think anyone's surprised that Cooper Flanagan and Nylah Raritan looked good and showed that they have some talent there. I don't think anyone's surprised that Jaden Greathouse became the guy at receiver. A lot of us thought he could be it, but we just needed to see it. So it's more of a check box. A lot of us thought coming in the spring running back would be loaded. Check box. So those are all things that I look at and say, hey, these are very encouraging things to see. And I would even say a checkbox this spring is the fact that we got to see so much of the young quarterbacks. And I would have much rather have seen Riley Leonard in practice. There's no doubt. But since he wasn't, one of the benefits to that was we got to see so much more of Kenny Minchie and CJ Carr. And you quickly realize they're both still quite raw for college players. They both have a lot to learn, but you quickly realize there's a lot of talent at quarterback as well. Now, is it good enough to win a championship? Right now, the answer is no. They all have to prove it. But just from a God-given ability standpoint, the box has been checked for, I hope Kenny Minchie's good, talented. Yep, he's talented. Check that box. I hope CJ Carr is as talented as we think. Yep, check that box. Those are all things that you look at and say, hey, there's a lot of talent there. Now they just got to go. Some of these guys have to go prove themselves. And some of these guys are proven, but they've got to prove it at Notre Dame. I mean, Bo Collins has over 1,000 career receiving yards. Chris Mitchell has over 1,000 career receiving yards. Notre Dame's wide receiver core has well over 3,000 career receiving yards amongst them. There's a ton of proven production. And I know people say, oh, you know, they got to prove it. No, I don't care about unproven running backs. No coach on the planet cares about unproven running backs. If you got talent, you can play. We saw that with Audric Estime and Logan Diggs 2 years ago. Audric Estime and Logan Diggs had nowhere near the snaps and production going into 2022 than what Jadarian Price and Jeremiah Love have going into 2024. Not even close. And those two guys were an outstanding running back tandem. I don't care about that. Receiver, yes, there's a lot of young guys that are going to be building around, but don't confuse them being new to Notre Dame as them being inexperienced. Notre Dame's going to have a senior tight end. They're going to have a sixth-year senior starting Z. There's a chance they're going to have a senior playing in the boundary unless he gets beat out by a freshman. You're going to have a junior in your backfield, a sophomore in your backfield who played a lot of football last year. And then you're going to have two slot receivers that are young but combined for over 600 yards last year, about 600 yards last year in Jaden Greathouse and Jordan Faison. So this might be a team that looks new to you on paper, but there's a lot of guys that have played a lot of football on this Notre Dame football team on offense. They're at the skill positions. There's nowhere at the skill positions where you're relying on someone who's never really done anything in college. Jadarian Price only has, what, 200-300 receiving yards, but or rushing yards last year, still played some meaningful downs, but this is a guy that averaged over 34 yards a kick return last year and took a kickback against USC. He understands leverage situations. Jeremiah Love was your number two leading rusher last year. So Notre Dame has plenty of experience on this offensive football team. And I think some people are confusing not having seen it with their own eyes as there being a lack of experience. And there's not a lack of experience at wide receiver. Not even close. There's a lack of, have you done it at Notre Dame? That's a fair question. Your quarterback's going to be a senior. There's a lot of experience at the skill positions for Notre Dame. A lot. There's nobody that's going to step on the field for Notre Dame in the fall outside of Cam Williams and Micah Gilbert, potentially, who has not shown that they can play college football to some degree. Your two backup tight ends both caught touchdown passes last year. Your new running backs both scored touchdowns last year in leveraged situations. Your one running back had over 100, Jadarian Price had over 100 yards rushing in the bowl game after Audric Estime went out. So there's a lot of guys that have played. Jaden Thomas has caught a good chunk of passes at Notre Dame. He gets and stayed healthy, but he's caught balls. We've seen Deon Colsey at least play to some degree. There's nobody that we look at outside of two receivers who are like, well, you know, I don't know what they can do. That's fine. But you don't need them to play if they're not ready. So the notion that this team is inexperienced at this is true at the offensive line. It's not true at the skill positions. So that's something to keep in mind as well as you look at some of the things to be encouraged by about this football team.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.